happen in a day. But we need to desire that forward movement in our own lives. By grace and in the power of Christ, we've been raised to live differently. As pilgrims, as strangers in the world, we think of what we read in the opening verses of Colossians chapter 3. Paul writing to the church at Colossae, he says, "If then you have been raised with Christ," there's resurrection, "seek things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Brothers and sisters, we have a high task. You may say, well, it's just another week. Carry on with the responsibilities at home and at work. But it's so much more than that. When our students attend their lessons at school, whether that be at home or at the day school, there needs to be a forward-looking focus. Seek the things that are above. Learning more and more to concentrate on Christ's goals and Christ's commands. We belong to Christ. Let us also, by our very lives, show that we belong, body and soul, through the course of life. And even that moment of life we call death. Trusting Christ, looking to him for all that we stand in need of. The lifelong task to live out of that call to be sanctified before the Lord. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need so much the hand of the Lord to guide us to each step along the way, to keep us from distraction, how easily we're distracted, how easily none of what we have spoken and heard this morning comes to our mind and heart. We need to pray that the Lord help us remember the life that we're called to live before him. Again, much more could be said about this life of sanctification, but we hasten on. There's more. The third benefit, it will not be experienced until the great day of days. Now, already now, we may enjoy the benefits of 1 and 2, justification, sanctification, but we need to wait for the third benefit, when the trump shall resound and Christ shall descend as he ascended. Now, we can live out of that anticipation, and we must, but to experience it. Oh, what a day! What a day when that final trump shall resound. The world is in a tizzy, things are breaking apart. We got to do this, we got to do that. Christian looks at these things a little differently. We believe to be good stewards, no doubt. But we also recognize that the very word of God has told us this world is breaking apart. All part of that process in which the Lord Jesus is coming again. You and I, by God's grace, we can be a work in progress. We recognize we still fall so far short of the glory of God. We recognize and confess before him, as we also did in congregational prayer earlier, that our lives are not always so Christ-centered, that we trip over some of the smallest things. And in that recognition, you and I are to yearn for the day of the new Jerusalem, for our fatherland, for paradise regained. When you think of that, paradise regained. Christ's resurrection, guarantee of our future resurrection. It's a sure thing. It's not, well, I kind of hope so. No. His resurrection is that pledge that one day God's people will also experience a day of glorification. On that day, the grave, which could not hold Jesus, will not hold us. There are millions of cemeteries in the world with perhaps billions of bodies buried in the ground. There are bodies whose dust lies on the bottom of the ocean. There are astronauts whose bodies have been torn apart in outer space. But one day, that day is a day sooner than yesterday, the dust will be reformed by our potter. The clay that constituted our bodies will once again be brought to life. I'm thinking of an example from church history. And the boys and girls, the young people all here have spent a few moments considering the life and times of John Wycliffe, and we trust that most of us know something of his story. The Wycliffe Bible translators take their name from his work. And we, from church history, know that John Wycliffe was an English reformer who first translated the Bible into English, but the church, as it was established at that and constituted at that point, did not support his work. They thought it was a dangerous thing for the Bible to be in the hands of people. Who knows what people might do with their Bible? Wycliffe died in 1384. Then in 1417, some 33 years later, he was condemned by the Council of Constance for his reformational teachings. This is all prior, before the Reformation fully sprouted in the 1500s. Well, what to do with someone who's already been buried for some 33 years? They dug his bones out of the grave in the peaceful churchyard where he was buried. His bones were ordered to be burned and the ashes cast into the river that led to the sea, symbolically to say, Wycliffe, you have no place amongst us. What the church of that day forgot was that the final word does not belong to the church, but to God. And on the day of resurrection, the final word will be spoken. A glorified body is promised to us by our Father in heaven. As Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, our lowly bodies will be transformed to be like Christ's glorified body. As he wrote to the church in Corinth, as we heard earlier, if Christ did not rise, we are a most pitiable people, and our faith is futile. Then we would still be in our sins. There'd be no point be gathered in church. When Christ arose, he left his state of humiliation and moved on to his exalted state. And glorification means that one day you too, all those who believe, will be given a glorified body, which will no longer be subject to death, which will no longer be subject to the ills and the frailties of the body. The body will one day be united to our glorified soul. Boys and girls, you might think of it this way. The teacher stands in front of the class, and they promise a class trip. And they may even put on the corner of the board that this is the day that it's going to happen, or in the school newsletter. And it promises to be a very exciting trip. And you're living in anticipation for it. Every day is a day closer until that day arrives. But when Christ gives his promise, he tells us to believe him at his word. And he gave evidence of his word when he showed his disciples what that glorified body was all about. He could eat, but did not need to eat. His glorified body could appear and disappear at will. It was a body that ruled over the laws of nature. He was not bound by physical restriction, as he could even go right through walls to be where he wanted to be. It was this body that ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of Father on the throne, the temple above. And what is amazing about the Christian faith, and scoffed at by the world, is that Christ has won for us these incredible, incredible benefits. Our life is not merely here and gone. No, there's much more to the purpose of the Christian's life. Jesus said to his disciples, part of the Old Testament church, to his disciples here at Covenant, part of the New Testament church, because I live, you will also live. We know that the gospel changes lives, and the resurrection promises to be a force in our lives. Young people, when you take this Lord's Day to your study this coming week in the catechism class, you'll spend a little more time with these beautiful words: justification, sanctification, glorification. But not only our catechism students. We go forward in faith, do we not? And we celebrate the Lord's Supper. We do that until He comes again. May the Lord so strengthen us in the most holy faith as we focus on what Christ has accomplished for us. Oh, so, so much. I must say, how rich we are. And in our hearts, there must always be that heartbeat. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven,